Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, here with June's first episode of the podcast. So I'm sorry for a couple of things. I mean, I guess I start off this podcast apologizing a lot, don't I? I appreciate all of you being here with me. I officially graduated from nursing school, but a couple of quick things out of the way. I am a little sniffly today. I've got some seasonal allergies. There may be some background noise. The church across the way from me is having a block party, and this is the only time I have to record this. And I may have forgotten if I was supposed to do a particular episode for the first episode of this month. Please let me know if I was supposed to have done something, and I will do it. But one of my patrons, Ari, had a fantastic idea for a podcast episode, and his suggestion was to talk about managing atmosphere and energy when you're doing readings, both kind of setting up your own comfort zone and managing the energy of a room if you're doing a reading for someone else. I think this is a really interesting subject, and I've touched on it in other episodes, but I don't know if I've really gone into it in as much depth as I may have liked. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Also, happy Pride, lest anyone forgot, I am super bisexual. And by that I mean I am just bisexual. I guess there's not really a super there. I mean, I'm not a little bi-curious. I'm definitely bi-furious. Yeah. So happy Pride. The first Pride was a riot. Let's not forget that. Go dig out some of your diverse decks. I will definitely be doing a couple of extra readings and maybe a reading special with my Mystic Mondays and Next World Tarot decks, because they are some of my queerest decks and I really like using them. So enjoy that. And if you're listening to this when it's released, I will be performing in a monologue series called In Full Color. It is devoted to diverse women's voices, and I will be doing that June 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th at Nimbus Dance Works in Jersey City. Please see my Instagram for more information on that. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Instagram. All right, let's hop into the nitty-gritty here. Let's talk about managing your atmosphere. So, to start off with sort of a negative example, right now I am sitting in my living room. It is fairly well lit. There's some visible clutter and this really loud music that's slightly vibrating my apartment walls from the block party across the street at the church. Not ideal atmosphere for me for doing a tarot card reading. Now, everyone's going to have a different thing that they like when they're doing readings. Some people enjoy having incense. Some people enjoy having background music. Some people really like to have bare feet, or, you know, have their feet touching the ground for some grounding. What the specific atmospheric elements are for you are going to be very personal. For me, I don't like fluorescent lighting if I can avoid it. I do like to have some kind of, nice background. When I had my shop for the few months that we had it, unfortunately the shop has closed down now. It was wonderful while it lasted, but it just wasn't sustainable for me or for Brittany from Antisocial Jewelry. So the Anti-Curiosity shop lives on online. When I had my shop, I had tapestry makes it sound like they're really, you know, like brocade and stuff. These like tarot-themed wall hangings on the walls. I had a lamp instead of the harsher overhead lighting. I had another lamp that color changed the room. I always had a tablecloth over my table. And I had a bookshelf with not only tarot books on it, but, you know, a couple of other like knickknacks. And it really made it seem like this inviting space to do tarot card readings in. I really enjoyed doing readings there the few times I got to do them. You know, it felt very calm. Sometimes I would have candles. More often than not, I wouldn't, because sometimes the scents would bother Brittany. But, I really enjoy doing readings in that space because it was small but not claustrophobic. It was cozy. It was cozy. There was nice dim lighting. I had some aesthetic happening. I do have sort of a portable aesthetic that I bring with me when I do events. With events, you can't really control your atmosphere as much as you can when you're doing readings at home. And we're going to get into personal stuff later on, but for now, I'm going to talk about kind of setting up your space for readings. So I have a table. I like to not have a too big a table or too small a table if I can avoid it. Like a 3 or 4 foot table is perfect for me. Anything smaller than that, it gets a little more difficult to do bigger readings on. Anything bigger than that, and I feel like I'm getting lost in the space. Have I done readings on tables that are both bigger and smaller? Absolutely. I am a very flexible individual. I have done readings in the break room at a hospital. I have done readings on the ground at a bus stop. I do readings in bars. Again, you work with the space you have. But when you have an opportunity to kind of get started with making some choices about the kind of space you'd like to see, think about what works for you. So what works for me, again, I like to have a plain black tablecloth. Mine does have my logo on it, but I don't see that. That's facing the front. So if I'm using one of my tables, I have my tablecloth. I like to have some crystals on my table. I'm not one of the most crystal healing woo people. I think they're really pretty. I think they can be a nice psychological focal point. And I'm not knocking your gnosis if you found crystals to be super helpful for you. I simply have not. So, or I'd say I'm not going to say I haven't found crystals to be helpful, but not as quantifiably or measurably as some people I know have reported. So, it's something to consider there, what works for you. So I like to have crystals. I think they're pretty. Other people respond to them. I usually have a couple of other things. If I'm doing an explicitly LGBT friendly event, I almost always have a pride flag of some kind on my table, whether a rainbow flag, a bi pride flag, something. I often have a Hamsa, Hamesh, the hand, protective hand, or my bracelet from Nerdy Kepi that says Tikkun Olam. I look forward to having their symbols of faith and pride pins on my table moving forward. I just ordered from their Kickstarter. It's amazing. We hit all the stretch goals. I have something on my table that represents my Judaism. Sometimes I have other things on there. It really depends on the event, depends on what I like to have with me, but some little knickknacks that make it feel like my own. Especially when I'm doing an event and there may be fluorescent lighting, there's going to be a lot of crowding. Really figuring out how to kind of create that little bit of space for you to do a reading in. Whenever possible at events, I also try not to be too close to the stage if there's any kind of performance going on, or if there's another vendor offering an experience, I try not to be right near them so that we're not competing with each other and people can hear me better. I always try to optimize people being able to hear me. Although I have to talk so much at these events that my voice is usually hoarse by the end of it. And I'm someone who talks a lot, if you haven't noticed by the nearly 50 episodes of this podcast. So for my voice to be hoarse, it's a little impressive. Regardless, I really try to, create this little space. That also means that I have the crystals, but I don't just have them haphazardly on my table. I have them kind of flanking my reading space. Sometimes I have like a placemat or an extra bit of like an extra scarf or something to further delineate where I do my readings. But because I like to do such different styles of readings, I don't always have that anymore. I prefer to have a more open space in order to manipulate that. So those are some of the things that I like to have to kind of make it so that the reading space that I'm using is more my own. And that kind of helps me get in the mood to do those readings. If it's an outdoor event, sometimes I will light a stick of incense. Sometimes I have little tea lights, electronic tea lights, so I can have those indoors. They add a little extra ambiance. I have a sage spray I use that both smells nice and, you know, if we're going to go with some of that energetic cleansing stuff, I happen to like it. It happens to do something psychologically for me. And, you know, the scent, if nothing else, is very nice. So those are some of the things I do to make my environment amenable. Now, how do you manage your environment? Well, when I'm doing an event that's rather large, I try not to have people crowd my table. You know, if someone wants to get a reading and they're friends with them, I always kind of check in with them that they're okay with their friend being there for their reading. I kind of always make it like, I can be the one to tell your friend to go away. You know, kind of bring it back to me. Usually, there's almost never any kind of tension with that. People approach by themselves if they want a solo reading, or they bring a friend so that they can either get a reading together, whether they're a couple or just really close friends or family. Or sometimes people just want their friends there to see their reading and help contextualize some of the information. People like that stuff quite a bit. So I do that. And it's, you know, a lot of it's just kind of reading the energy of the room that you're in and adjusting yourself accordingly. If I'm in one of the Liberty Science Center After Dark events that I like to do, although I haven't done it too many this year, I've been super busy and we haven't really been thematically appropriate for these events. You know, it's acceptable at one of those reading events for me to sit there, have a drink, get loud, make some jokes. You know, it's an all over 21 event. You know, we can be a little bit more adult. But if I'm doing a Halloween event at a school, you know, I'm not going to dress provocatively. I'm going to keep my jokes PG. And I'm also going to consider bringing tarot decks that are more kid friendly, as opposed to what I might bring at, you know, a Liberty Science Center event. I don't have any particularly pornographic decks, but, you know, again, I have some decks that are definitely easier to read with for a younger crowd or a more beginner crowd, and some that I will bring for, you know, LGBT themed events or, you know, just other events, different themes, different things going on. So those are some ways to kind of work with your atmosphere and work with setting a mood. I suppose it would have made more sense to start off with yourself, but, you know, this is my podcast and I'm doing it how I want. And now you've listened this far. Mwahahaha. But to kind of feed into that, before we get into what you can do for yourself to get yourself in the mood for it, I also want to stress to you that you shouldn't do readings regularly in environments you don't enjoy doing them in. For example, I really don't like doing outdoor events for the most part. If I'm doing them with JC Oddities, that's different because Brittany organizes really amazing events and I'm kind of a part of those events as well. So I don't mind doing some outdoor events with her or for a really good cause. But in general, I don't enjoy doing readings outside. I find them stressful. I might get sunburned because I am pale as all heck. I did not get very much of the swarthy Mexican genes on my dad's side. I get worried about my cards flying away. That's not conducive to a good reading atmosphere. Sometimes my coworkers ask me to do their readings on breaks, and I've done it before. And if someone's really having a crisis and I have the time and they have the time, I'll do it. But I don't like doing readings in fluorescent lighting in a break room at a hospital. Again, need-based stuff, we can get it done. But I'd rather not do it. I'd rather try to schedule a time outside or do that reading over the internet, you know, over the phone, something like that. So getting yourself in the mood. Now, I did touch in a previous episode about using substances. Maybe you, I'm not condoning any illegal substance use, but depending on where you are, it may be perfectly legal for you to have some marijuana before get yourself into that mindset. Maybe you like to have some drinks. I do like doing readings after I've had a couple of drinks, not too many. If I'm planning to get actually intoxicated, I don't charge money for my readings. But a couple drinks over the course of a night, you know, it loosens you up and lowers your inhibitions. I like me some tipsy-nosis. But I'm also perfectly happy doing readings sober, and sometimes that's better. So just putting it out there. You absolutely don't have to do that. Maybe you like to say a chant or a prayer before reading. Maybe that's what you need to get yourself into the mood. Maybe you like to open a circle or call in the corners like you're doing a ritual. Again, whatever is going to get you into that mood to feel receptive and open to doing readings, that's what you should do. You know, for me, it's also kind of hard for me to do readings if my cat is bouncing off the walls, because I have one cat who is very active. Although strangely enough, right now she is curled up into a little ball on the floor listening to me talk. Usually she is running around like a wild woman, but she was running around while I was doing a couple of video readings earlier. So there's that. Maybe she just burnt herself out a little bit for the moment, saving up her energy for later. Something else to consider is how you are dressed. I started covering my hair in November. I was writing a Jewish ghost story, and I've always been, you know, interested in covering my hair, and it is a very Jewish thing to do. So I kind of started to do that in November, and I found I really like it. And now I found that if I'm doing readings at home or recording this podcast, I much prefer to have my hair covered. I don't always have my hair covered at home. I often have it, you know, completely bare because it's home and I'm comfortable. You know, my dentures are out if I'm home. My contacts are usually out unless I have people coming over or want to be cute for whatever reason. But I'll have my glasses on a lot of the time. But I have my head covered. I have my teeth in. If I'm doing any kind of video reading, I might want to dress in something a little bit dressier. You know, I do have certain clothes I enjoy wearing for when I'm doing reading events. Right now I'm wearing my shirt that has some Ouija board stuff and a Hamsa on it. You know, I have a Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas dress I like wearing. I have a couple of black dresses I really enjoy wearing to events. So, you know, I might put those on rather than whatever ratty cotton t-shirt I got from a 5K 3 years ago. I've donated most of those, but I still have a couple that I like to wear as my pajamas. So I'd rather not sit there in my regular old pajamas. I would rather dress up just a little bit. You know, it's not about getting super fancy. So, you know, again, if I'm at home doing readings, I don't want fluorescent lights. I'll have my floor lamp on. I will, you know, try to have, I don't like to have a lot of background noise. I think I generally prefer silence. If I'm listening to music, I want to be listening to music, you know? So, you know, I might have some very soft background music, usually instrumentals, but more often than not, I'll have silence and some dimmer lighting. You know, I have a couple tables I prefer to use. If I'm using a table I don't like to use, if it's like a white table or one of my dinky little end tables, I might throw a scarf or a tablecloth over it. I'll do my readings that way. You know, I just feel much more in the mood that way. There is something to be said for being able to get in that mindset no matter what's going on. There's something to be said for being able to access it. And I've been reading tarot for so long that it doesn't really bother me. It's not going to take me so far out of my mindset to, you know, have to do readings under fluorescent lights. There was one oddities market we did, like a holiday market we did at a venue in Kearney, New Jersey, that was just very brightly lit, not very aesthetic at all. I did some very insightful readings there. You know, it doesn't hinder my ability to read, and it might not hinder your ability to read, but I think it's best, especially when you're getting started out, to try to set yourself up for success and try to get your readings done in a space that feels comfortable to you, that feels like it's a good space for you to be doing readings in. And working within that is probably going to produce more clarity of mind for you to be able to synthesize this information, especially if this is brand new information that you're synthesizing. If this is, you know, your early days of getting started with readings, don't play on hard mode and try to do readings in a crowded, loud bar, unless that is something that you feel like you want to do. I've had a lot of fun doing that, but I've been reading since I was 13 and I turned 30 this year. So, you know, I have a large base to draw from, a large comfort zone, and I've purposely tried to stretch that comfort zone. Getting dressed up might make you feel silly. Having candles and incense might make you feel like you're playing into some kind of fortune teller stereotype. Again, what works for me might not work for you. You might much prefer to be outside in nature and not be so worried about your cards flying away like I am. What works for me might not work for you. So give a bunch of things a try. You know, really see what you enjoy doing. And then when you feel comfortable, your readings are going to be better. So again, you know, set yourself up for some success. Oh, and of course, there's also some other considerations to take into account here. Don't do readings if you can avoid it. If you're sick, sleep deprived, hungover, stressed out. I mean, yes, a lot of the time we're doing readings because we're stressed out and we want some answers. But you know, I think you know what I'm saying. Like, don't do them under duress, especially not readings for other people. You know, if your roommate's bugging you for a reading and you just got home from work and the last thing you want to do is talk to another person, you know, instead of doing that reading while you're tired and exhausted, do it in the morning. You know, again, if it's a trade-off you're willing to make, if, you know, you feel like it's a crisis situation, you really want to help, I'm sure you can override that. You know, we all have that mom override. Or maybe not all, but a lot of us have that mom override. I certainly do. You know, I don't really do a lot of readings for myself because I expend so much of my energy in doing readings for other people. So, you know, it's something to think about there. Yeah, set yourself up for success, and I think you'll have a better time getting your readings done. I guess we're going to keep this episode a little bit shorter. Again, I'm sort of distracted by my own surroundings right now. You know, there's a little extra clutter. I've been working a lot of hours now that school is done, and I have some extra schoolwork for a summer class, so my living room is not the neatest it has ever been. I'm stressed out about the dishes in the sink and the floor I need to vacuum, and having all those stressors in my head is not conducive for me doing spiritual stuff. Plus, I also did 3.5 readings already this morning. So that's something else to consider. You know, I've mentioned this before, when you're doing professional readings, don't be afraid to take breaks. If you're, you know, a hobby tarot card reader or a very personal tarot card reader, this may not apply to you, but if you're reading for other people and you're reading for a group of people, really pace yourself. I have a very high tolerance for that kind of thing. I've done, you know, customer service jobs for 15 years now. All client-facing jobs of different kinds. And if not client-facing, very heavily involved in other people. Like when I did a brief copywriting stint, yes, I did some work from home, but a lot of the time I'd be working closely with other writers in our little group. So, you know, I'm very adept at this point at being able to deal with large groups of people. But let me tell you, again, at the end of some of these events, I don't want to deal with anyone. I used to make plans to go out and hang out after I did events. Oh yeah, I'll have the evening free. We'll be done by 7. The last thing I want to do after spending 3 or 4 hours talking to people about their desires and problems and all this stuff, even a good reading can be very draining to perform. let alone 3 or 4 hours of them back to back, the last thing I want to do is talk to more people and deal with anything else. So again, you know, setting yourself up and managing your environment also includes that. You know, don't set yourself up to do a big party after you've done an event in the morning. Again, unless you know that you have the tolerance for it and you plan it in advance and you know, there's nothing else you can do. Like, I'm recording this episode now, despite the block party and despite having done the 3 readings before it, because this is the only time that I have time. Tomorrow, I am literally busy. I'm going to get up at 6 in the morning and I'm not going to get home till maybe 9 or 10 at night. It's going to be a long day. So I wasn't going to have any time. I had no time yesterday. Yesterday I had a 12-hour work day and I had stuff to do in the morning. So, you know, I had to make that choice. But I've been doing readings for a long time and I'd been planning on how to do these readings for a few days. So I was able to get myself in that headspace pretty quickly. I also put on one of my favorite headscarves, put on this shirt I like to wear, position myself in front of my big purple mandala wall hanging, you know, and I felt pretty comfortable doing that. All right, so I hope that was helpful for you. I'm going to post on Instagram, and please feel free to comment on my Instagram or my Facebook. What gets you in the mood to do readings? What makes you feel like it? As always, please feel free to email me. I would love to talk with you about anything really, but give me ideas for what you'd like to hear in this podcast. I am planning my next podcast to be an interview with Rory Kelly of the amazing Rory Kelly. That's her thing. Rory Kelly and the Triceratones. She does music. She also does Sassafras Tarot. So either the next episode of June or one of the episodes of July will be an interview with Rory. I promise. I have a couple other interviews on deck for this year. I just got to set them up. So, we've come to that portion. If you like this podcast and want to support it, please consider donating. You can just send me a one-time donation. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Venmo. But if you want to be a monthly contributor, I have my Patreon. I'm Antifragile Tarot on there. And $1 a month gets you access to any videos I post, any extra posts, and my Discord where you can chat with me in real time. $5 a month, you get at least one reading a year. $5 and $10 a month, you get a couple readings. $10, you get a couple readings. $20 a month gets you monthly readings from me. I know that's a lot of money, but you're not only supporting the podcast and getting it transcribed so for more accessibility, but you're also supporting, you're also getting that monthly reading, and you're supporting me doing the thing. For other one-time things, you can also hit up my Etsy. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Etsy. But if you don't have cash and you want to support, you know, just tell your friends about the podcast, comment on my Instagram posts, like them, comment on my Facebook posts, share my Facebook posts. That really goes a long way towards visibility and getting me some business. So, you know, if you can't afford to spend some cash, I totally understand. I can't afford to spend any cash until I'm making some nursing money. But, you know, again, liking and sharing my stuff on the internet goes a long, long way. So thank you so much for listening, whether this is your first episode or you have been a listener from the beginning. I really appreciate all of you listening. I wouldn't keep recording if you didn't keep enjoying. So, you know, again, please feel free to email me, give me your questions, comments, feedback, ideas for future episodes. I'm antifragiletarot@gmail.com. I really appreciate having you all here as listeners and as friends. I really made some friends, including, you know, Ari, who inspired this episode. So it really means a lot. And I really appreciate the space that we've made together here. All of your support really means a lot to me. So thank you again for listening. I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful week. We have this upcoming new moon on the 3rd. So it's a great time to set some intentions for what you'd like to see grow in the next moon cycle. All right. Thank you again. Have a witchy and or wonderful week, and I will talk to you in mid-June. Bye.